Yes, it is. It's Monday, and this is Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
What's up, y'all? This is Tay, Eric Taylor, and yo, it is everybody's business because it's the sports world, man. It's a good Monday, good sports, good great weekend. You want to join us tonight, give us a ring, 718-664-9098. Keep hitting us up. We appreciate those emails. Ray and Tay today at gmail.com. That's RAEANDTAY today. And hit us up on the Twitter and Facebook and follow us. And that's the same thing, Ray and Tay today. And, man, I'm hurt, Ray. You tell them what's happening today, but I'm kind of hurt, man. The sports has got me hurt today.
Oh, see, we got a Steelers fan on the other side. See, I took it as a man. I took it like a man on Friday after my Cowboys didn't do anything. My Jets
Whatever.
Got embarrassed even worse on Thanksgiving Day. My turkey was sitting in my stomach with indigestion. But now you got to be indigestion, boy, with your loss. Your Pittsburgh
Steelers.
Yeah,
we'll talk about my team later
it,
on in the show. But
we'll
tell them what's happening, man.
Yeah, so we've got some breaking news. Not a huge breaking news day, but we got some stuff happening in the sports world. We'll talk a little bit about this weekend's college football. Go Irish for all you Notre Dame fans out there. Locked your spot in the national championship
Ooh,
game. Waiting
yeah, we'll
to
talk
see
about
who
it.
Wins the SEC championship. Then we've got some basketball talk. We got a little Knicks-Nets, the game that was supposed to open up the Barclays Center for pro basketball.
For New York, baby. Let's get hyped. New York.
Storm Sandy pushed that back a few weeks. But, yeah, that's that first game, Knicks-Nets, the Barclays Center.
On TNT, 7 o'clock, right after we get off.
We're going to review four good games in the NFL this past Sunday. And we'll give you a preview of the Monday night game, Carolina at Philly. Wow. don't sleep on it. At the beginning of the year, we thought this would be a much better game. And I guess starting what, next? Oh, no, that's NBC. I was about to say they have those flex games starting next week or in week 13. Yeah. But, yeah, Carolina, Philly. We thought
ABC wishes they had a flex.
They did. They do.
ESPN. Yeah.
And then finally, we end the show with our Monday segment, Champs and Chumps of the Weekend. So we tell you who was the best and who was the worst performer, in our opinion, of the weekend. So let's talk about some breaking news.
Oh, man, I don't know where to go first. Listen, we're waiting to hear what happened with the Niners, Frank Gore, in their big win at New Orleans. But Kyle Williams, the guy who unfortunately got all those death threats when he fumbled last year in the NFC Championship, Cool Kyle Williams, is torn ACL, out for the rest of the season for the Niners, and that's just, we wish him all the best. The Bears got six players banged up, but Forte's going to miss some time. Your boy, Devin Hester's got a concussion. What's up with the Bears team and these concussions, man? They just, it's rough.
I think it's just one of those random things that happen, and you're just on the wrong side of the coin sometimes.
Yeah, and your linebacker, another defensive player out for the season for the Cowboys, your linebacker, Carter, he's done for the year. So
yeah.
It's, I don't know, man. You hate to hear, people talk about they want to go to 18 games. It's hard enough to make it through 17 weeks and 16 games. You could argue that these players, even with the schedule now, they could probably use two bye weeks. Because it's just such a fast, strong, brutal, violent game. Cats are just jacked up. So, you know. Also, shout out to your boy Longoria. Got the $100 million extension. Contract goes to 2023. Can y'all imagine that? 23. And the team
That's
has
great.
An option that year. But, you know,
That's
the Rays got to shore up their man at third base, right?
Well, that's true, but here's the question, though. Once you put all that money into Longoria, now David Price, after winning Cy Young, is going to go want to get his money, and I don't know if they have enough money to pay both of those guys. I mean, they're not the Yankees.
I'm sure that they will set aside.
I think they
realize that a pitcher is, David Price is their man.
Yeah, 25.
He'll get his dough. Oh, yeah.
We'll see. I hope he does. For baseball, I hope he stays in Tampa. Look, I love him in New York, but I hope he stays in Tampa, and he stays in the AL East, and we battle, and, let the best man win.
Yeah, definitely. Just another thing on the news front. I'm tired of reporting it, but now this is where it's at. It's sort of plateaued to Andrew Bynum is out indefinitely. So he might not even play in March. He might just be out for the season. And the Sixers have got to be kicking themselves. And I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, obviously, in the future, it's, you know, Spencer Hawes and Kwame Brown for this season, but I don't know what they're going to do with this guy. So it's a mess
right.
in Philly.
And then, again, some more suspension news in football. Ndamukong Suh was not suspended, but Eric Wright from the Bucks for Adderall apparently is going to be suspended for 4 games. The two kids from the two corners from the Seattle Seahawks are
Browner
probably
well,
going to go to
Shermer.
Yeah, they're going to have to go through the appeals process because they're technically suspended for 4 games as well. They both think that they'll be cleared upon appeal. So we'll see Adderall and the cornerbacks. What's going on in the NFL?
I don't know, man. Now, I thought Adderall was for focus. So is it just studying plays and wide receivers? And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm not a doctor, and I did not play one on TV. But I will say this. Actually, I did in theater. I was Dr. Covington. Shout out to Central Baptist Church on the Upper West Side. You know what I'm saying? Stacey Holman and Erica Ball. I was Dr. Covington in a play. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, those are the Eric Taylor acting days. You know what I'm saying? The true thespian, man. But so this is the thing. I think with these guys getting these suspensions and fighting it, it's really getting just kind of crazy and messy. I think there was one more person, too. Oh, this is the thing. Sue, look, they said they might fine him, and I know it's his reputation that, you know, whatever, but when you look at the replay, and I was watching it again a couple of times, look, a guy rolls over. He can't control where his leg comes and kicks, you know, if he hit Schaub in the groin. I think because of Sue, people overreact, but I don't think he should even be fined. It wasn't like he had control to, like, you know, like make his leg go dead and not even touch the guy. I think it's just one of those football accidents. So, to me, I think people get a little carried away with Sue. And,
yeah,
you know, he's not a clean player. I'm not going to give him the clean player.
Now on, anything that's even close to the borderline, he will not get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, maybe he just doesn't deserve it. Also, Brandon Wheaton, again, the Steelers, right? Last year we knocked out McCoy. They gave Brandon Wheaton a pretty good concussion. So they'll see whether or not he'll be up for next week's games. And, hey, man, it's the NFL. You know, we're heading towards week 13, and tonight we end week 12, and these guys get banged up. So let's talk about Saturday. I mean, look, Bama,
College.
Georgia, Florida beats Florida State, some big
wins.
Big
games, well, starting on Friday, because you have, we were talking about this, what's the BCS Bowl shape up? And it looks like, well, it starts Saturday night. We've got the Friday night, the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah.
We got UCLA against Stanford. And obviously the winner of that game is going to go to the Rose Bowl to play the winner of the Big, whatever they're calling it now, Big 10, but it should be Big 14 in a couple years. So that's
mm-hmm.
Friday. And then, so Friday's the Pac-12 championship. And then Saturday, you've got all those championship games going on. The ones that we're most interested in, obviously, is the SEC championship game, Alabama-Georgia at 4 o'clock. But
and the winner will play Notre Dame for the title.
Yeah, you've got Nebraska-Wisconsin to figure out who goes to the Rose Bowl. You've got Florida State-Georgia Tech to determine the ACC championship. But, yeah, the one we're all worried about is Alabama-Georgia.
Well, see, and that's why I think Florida beating Florida State was a big win, because basically the number one game is going to be, let's say, Bama-Notre Dame, and then the second game of the highest-ranked teams will be Florida probably versus Oregon, whether that's the Fiesta or whatever the bowl name is.
No, but they have those bowl commitments, though. So,
well, no,
so
that's what I'm saying, but they will take the – that's what I'm saying. Oregon is not in – they are not in the in the Rose Bowl. They're not going to be in it.
because it's Stanford, UCLA, right. You're right.
Right, so, and Oregon's
Stanford
ranked higher than
like,
both of them.
No, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be Florida versus Oregon, probably.
Yep.
Which will be a great game.
Yeah, they did the bowl projections, actually, and the ESPN guys said the projected Fiesta Bowl is actually K-State, Oregon, and the projected Sugar Bowl is Oklahoma, Florida.
Okay.
So,
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Bowl,
I think I'd rather see – I get it because K-State's not going to play Oklahoma. So K-State, Oregon – that'd be a great matchup. I mean, Klein,
I like
and, you know,
that
you
matchup.
See those teams. I like it. Florida, Oklahoma, I like it. And
yeah,
probably,
and then the Rose Bowl,
know.
They're looking like, obviously, the Rose Bowl is the hardest one to predict because two teams have to win. But let's say they both win, then it would be Nebraska-Stanford at that game. If the two higher-seeded teams win, would be the Rose Bowl. And then the Orange Bowl, they're looking at
this
Florida
year,
State against Florida.
I'm really hyped up about these bowl games. You know, I've really gotten into, you know, obviously with us with this show, but just really paying attention to the college football season. What I think we're going to have to do is on ESPN, we will have our bowl picks. And Ray and Tay, just like we have our picks can pick them, we'll have to do our bowl picks. And anybody will, you know, we'll let people know when we set it up before the bowl week game started, you know, around the holidays or Christmas. We will have a thing so the fans can get involved, people who listen to our show can, you know, join us. We'll put it out there, and people can join us and make their college bowl picks and see how you do versus Ray and Tay. I think that would be kind of fun.
Yeah,
so,
what are there, 34 bowl games? There's a lot of games.
Yeah, so, hey, listen, we'll see. You know, obviously there's some games you're not sure you're guessing, but there's some games that, you know, you've watched the team and you're like, hey, I don't care what the experts say. I think, you know, Geno Smith of West Virginia will win this game, or, you know, whatever it is. So it'll be fun. It'll be interesting, and we'll have to do that. But last night, the Knicks, big double-figure win at home. Last night, the Brooklyn Nets, a big double-figure win at home, preparing them for – Nine and three and eight and four.
9-3 Knicks against the six. I'm sorry, the 8-4 Nets.
8-4 Brooklyn Nets. This is the battle for New York. Sandy, you know, postponed this game that was November 1st, and already it seemed like just yesterday we were talking about this, right? And already it's November 26th. That's ridiculous. How fast 25 days have just like boom and then boom. It's like it's here. So. You know, hey, I want to know what people think. People can email us. I already got one email. My friend Tony, right, from Massachusetts, Tony said to me, this is his email, he is like, look, I don't care what happens in New York, it's always going to belong to the Knicks.
But I think
Brooklyn will win by three. So that's kind of funny. Thanks, Tony, for hitting us up. That's my boy Tony, Big T from Massachusetts.
Is that Tony has done it again?
No, that's not Tony Watson. Tony's down in Maryland. But there's another Tony that I grew up with and stuff. So, but, you know,
okay.
It's funny. I think – so he thinks it's always going to be New York, and I think this is New York's town, you know. And I talk about this with Edgar, Ricky. Ricky's a Brooklyn guy, and Edgar's a New York guy and stuff. And I think the Knicks will win tonight. So I go against Tony with that. But I just think that both teams are doing well, and it's just good for New York basketball, right? It's great to have a rivalry, and it's great to have – two good teams. The Nets were nobody in New Jersey. You know what I mean? There was no real rivalry. There was no relevance. But now with them in Brooklyn, it's good. It's good for both teams to be good.
Not only with them
in
Brooklyn, but both teams being good. Right? When was the last time both teams were actually pretty good? I mean, at the end of the Patrick Ewing era, you know, both teams had some flashes, and then the Nets got bad again, and then they picked Coleman, and right in the late 80s, early 90s, they had Coleman and Kenny Anderson and Drazen Petrovic. But these guys really haven't been good at the same time for a consistent.
Right, because when the Nets were going to the finals with Kidd and Jefferson and those guys,
right,
the
that's
Knicks
right
were not
when
good.
The Knicks era, just you know that 99 championship team was just sort of fading into oblivion, but. Yeah, but now both teams are good. I mean, the Knicks are undefeated at home, so the Knicks are what 5-0 at home. The Nets are 6-1 at home, so the best home.
And they shouldn't
record.
Have lost that game to Minnesota.
Yeah,
and
frankly, the good thing about the Nets, you know, the Knicks too, but even more the Nets. I mean, their young studs are signed for a while, so they got Joe Johnson for a while. They got Marshawn Brooks, but I'm thinking Joe John. Their backcourt, right?
Darren Williams,
Joe Johnson, and then Brook Lopez, and of course Marshawn Brooks and Gerald Wild. So they've got some guys here lined up.
No, this will be a rivalry for a long time because the Knicks guys aren't going anywhere either. You know, everybody's under contract, so let's play ball. Let's see what happens. I think they probably play each other 5 times this year, so this will be the first matchup of many. I just, you know, I don't know if I like the Knicks being stubborn and sticking to, you know, Melo at the four. I can't see this game. It might not hurt them as much, right, because Humphreys on the boards, it hurts us. But Humphreys won't destroy Melo offensively, you know. But I think, you know, for foul trouble and rebounding, it just kills us because Wallace is already big enough for Anthony to have Humphreys out there, and then to have Brewer stick Wallace, that's not good either. So I think Woodson should switch up the lineup a little bit. You know, I would give Rasheed a start or Camby or figure something out. But I like Melo. Huh?
I said, or even rotate them, you know, get a deeper rotation going on in the front court, especially in the beginning of the year. And remember, Carmelo also played in the Olympics, so he's got some miles on those legs already. Amari coming back is really the key, and it can't happen soon enough, you know. And I know there's going to be some chemistry issues.
A couple more weeks, I think.
He's the pure four. He's the younger. He's not that young anymore, but he's the younger guy, and he's going to put in his time and his minutes. And so, yeah, I like Carmelo at the four situationally. So for 5-10 minutes a game, you want to put that small team out there. You want to run. You want to create matchups. But I don't like it for 25 minutes a game. I don't like it for 30 minutes a game. I think in the long run, he's better served playing the three, especially when you've got Amari at the team. And now you could say, okay, Amari at the five. Again, okay, and I like it for matchups, but I don't like that as your steady team. I like Tyson at the five, Amari at the four, Carmelo at the three. Everybody plays a natural position.
Do you think Lopez can hurt the Knicks tonight? Lopez going up against Chandler, and
I think he can.
You know.
I think he can. I think he's scoring real well. He's leading the Nets in scoring. He's averaging 19 a game. Now he's not hitting the boards as much as you'd like, but that'll always be his you know his biggest division.
Yeah, I mean Carmelo gets more rebounds a game than him.
Yeah, and that's probably what keeps him out of being, you know, an elite player. I mean, at his position, he's probably elite just because the center position in the NBA these days is pretty weak. But, yeah, Lopez will give the Knicks problems. Look, Tyson Chandler doesn't want to guard him out 12, 15 feet from the basket. And the smaller guys, he'll shoot right over them. So if you play, you know, Kurt Thomas at the five or even, you know, even Wallace probably feels a little more comfortable out there, but, you know, nobody really wants to stick a big man shooting, you know. They want to stay back closer to the basket.
Yeah. So I think Rasheed and Camby could handle him.
Yeah, Rasheed's more natural out there at the four because he's defended fours most of his career. So I think they'll have a better job, but Tyson probably doesn't feel comfortable out there guarding a man his size for a 12-foot jumper. So I think he gets his. You know, I'm a huge Knicks fan and a huge basketball fan. But I don't know. I think the Nets at home, they're jazzed up. The momentum from last night. Look, Knicks have momentum from last night too. But I like the Nets in this game. I like the Nets to
really?
hold serve.
You know, my problem is with the Knicks. I'd like them to get more. Take it like I always say, take it to the Baja. Get more free throws and easy baskets, but we don't have a real post up offense. And I got to tell you, Chandler to me, I know we do with Felton and we do the pick and roll and we throw him some oops, but to me, Chandler needs to get more of an offensive game. And maybe it's not possible. We need Amari for that.
Say,
for the post.
Can that happen at this point in his career? What do you think?
Well, but the only thing I was going to say, for him to be such a great defender, which he is, and he rebounds pretty well, he doesn't really intimidate guys when they come down the lane. That's the problem. Chandler doesn't block enough shots for me. Like Dwight Howard, you watch him, you come to the hole, Dwight will punch your stuff. Dwight doesn't have it. And I wish Chandler was a little bit more. I see too many guys come down the lane and dunk it and get easy shots. I think Chandler needs to sort of do that defensively. That's the one reason why I think I'd play Camby a little bit more and play him sometimes with Wallace at the 4-5 in the backup role, especially going up against Blatch and Reggie Evans tonight, because I think Camby will punch some shots. You know
yeah,
what I Camby mean?
Yeah, Camby, look, here's the thing. Rebounding is about effort first, and technique second, and maybe athleticism third. I mean, you look at guys like Michael Cage and Charles Oakley and all these guys led the league in rebounds. Block shots, you can't teach a guy to block shots, though. Either you have that natural gift or you don't. And you can maybe, improve your technique to stay on the court a little bit better so you don't foul out all the time. You
but
don't
it's,
block
it it's,
your
it's rhythm, it's timing.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Tyson, but keep in mind, Tyson won Defensive Player of the Year last year, and most guys who win that, you know, either lead the league in rebounds or lead the league in block shots or top three in either of those, and he really is not a great shot blocker. I mean, he averages 0.75 blocks per game.
That's what I'm saying.
And That's not intimidating. But here's the thing, you're not going to change that at this point in his career. He's not going to become a shot blocker. He's just not. And Camby's a shot blocker. Even Rasheed Wallace is a better shot blocker. You just can't expect that from him. Just like for some reason Brooke Lopez doesn't rebound as well as you'd like for a guy his size and his athletic ability. Tyson Chandler is the same way. He's a nice rebounder, you know, 8.5 rebounds per game. You know, you'd love that to be 10, 11. But 8.5 will take in 28, 29 minutes. But, yeah, the shot blocking, that's one of the issues that the Knicks have is that interior defense shot blocking really isn't there.
Well, I'm going Knicks and you're going Nets. I will say this, the keys to the game, I think Felton is going to step up to the challenge to Darren Williams. And watch Novak. He's been kind of off and on this season, you know, and I think tonight he might be on. So I'm looking for Novak to hit some threes to push the Knicks along.
Did you see Darren Williams last night with 4 blocks?
Yeah, that. Let me tell you something. That's you know, and
that just shows he's a man, that he's like, what? Slap that shot.
D-Will is legitimate, you know. He's a ball player, man. So it should be fun. And stars should be out. Brooklyn should be rocking. You know, you'll see Jay and Beyonce. It's going to be on. So I'm excited for that, man. Let's keep it moving. We'll take a little break, and then we'll come back and talk about some great games yesterday in the NFL. Right in tight. Yes,
we're
sir.
Back to talk NFL.
Man.
National
Last
Football
night.
League.
You know it was oh, you know what, real quick, before we talk about that, man, I do want to shout out the Memphis Grizzlies and the Spurs, like the two real best records, right? Everybody bigs up the Heat, but at 9-2 and at 11-3, you got to love the Spurs at 11-3 and the Grizzlies, only 2 losses. They're tough, man. So as a Knicks fan, you can't be upset losing to them, you know.
And we beat the Spurs. So, you know, 1-1
yeah.
against the top 2 teams by record in the league, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we're kind of top billing ourselves, the Knicks, against these, you know, we balls on cats. So last night, right? You heard, oh, the dead arm with Eli, the Giants, they had their bye week, and they came off their bye. They were at home, and they put the smack down. Shout out to Edgar Burgos. He's a big Giant fan. Had to hear from him today because my Steelers took the L. But the Giants, man, that was lovely. Now they're 7-4. They have, you know, a 2-game lead on the Cowboys and the Skins. The Packers are 7-4, 38-10.
Did you feel the domination as Eli got the Giants' passing record for touchdowns, 200 TD passes? Victor Cruz did his salsa. Oh, and we forgot to mention, this is a big one. Andre Brown got hurt, and he's out for the season. David Wilson will have to step up and sort of give, you know, spells to Bradshaw, who's been fragile all season. That's a big loss for the Giants, I got to tell you right there.
But I think Wilson will be fine. He just fumbled a little bit. And once you get that reputation as a fumbler, and you know Coughlin hates running backs who don't protect the quarterback and fumble. So if you do either, and God forbid if you do both.
Right, but don't you feel like he's more like he could break it outside, but Brown was just bruising up the middle between the tackles at the goal line. I don't know if Wilson could be that. And that's why I think the Giants are going to miss that. Bradshaw is not a beast at the goal line, and they don't have Jacobs anymore. So just keep an eye on that, Giants fan. I mean, you know, they might be missing Andre Brown. But I got to say, man, the Packers offensive line, they've got some injuries. And, you know, Jordy Nelson got his big touchdown early on. But Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, even without Clay Matthews, their whole team looked real regular, man. 10 points on the road against the Giants.
Well, you know what? They ran off a string of four games where they looked great. Where they were gangbusters, and they were the team of 2 years ago, or last year actually, when they went 15, you know, they won their first 15 games under Aaron Rodgers. But the Giants, I'll put the Giants and the Packers in the same category. They are the two-time defending champion, or last two-year defending champions. So the problem with those teams is they know they can win, and especially the Giants. They know they can win. They know they can turn it on, and they know that when their front four goes manimalistic and can sack the quarterback and cause havoc, and Rodgers' offensive line was shaky, and he got sacked five times, they have not only the ability, but they have the confidence of knowing that they've done it before. So, but it's dangerous because they turn it on and turn it off. And so These are two teams you don't want to face. You don't want to face them at home. You don't want to face them on the road. You don't want to face them at a neutral field because these two teams can beat you. Now, at the same time, they can take a mental health day and check out. That's more the Giants. But just one of those days. You know, for the Packers, they're 7-4. They, you know, probably will not – I shouldn't say won't. They probably – you know, they're going to fight for that playoff, right? They're going to fight for that NFC North championship.
Oh, yeah, they got the fifth seed right now.
But they'll be in the playoffs one way or another. So
yeah.
That team, you know, they've got some holes in the offensive line. And the Giants team, you know, those are teams you don't want to face.
But they can't run the ball, though, right? This is the problem. I mean, when you got Starks getting 35 yards and Green getting 30 yards and both of them with 18 carries, if you lock down their passing and you can get to Rodgers – I mean, look, Finley gets, 351, Jordy Nelson, that big play. But after that, he had one more reception, 2 for 71. I mean,
that's
they've got some concerns. Now, look, Greg Jennings is coming back, so he should hopefully heal all their problems. But no running game and offensive line. I think the Packers are flawed, especially when they get to the playoffs. I don't think it's going to get easier for them playing against the Giants, the Niners.
But if they get Woodson and Matthews back,
yeah, I mean, listen,
little boost
I think...
You. No, but you're right. Look, fundamentally, if you have the best player in football in Aaron Rodgers, or at least the defending MVP, but you can't protect him, he's not the defending MVP. You know, as
right, he's not the same
is,
guy anymore.
He's not the same guy. Not only is he less effective on plays where he gets hit, but he's also less effective because he's human, right? Your line collapses on you, and you throw the ball a little faster, and you get rid of the ball a little bit. And you make rush decisions. So, yeah, the Packers have some issues. But still.
And a good thing for the Giants, your boy Nix is starting to, looks like he's starting to come back. Five receptions, 77 yards, you know. Akeem Itadore got a touchdown. That's a good sign, right? Because that's sort of what was hurting the Giants. It was just Victor Cruz. And so teams could double him. You know, now, and Reuben Randle got a touchdown. If if Randle steps up, and I think he's got the talent to be a legitimate number three receiver to replace Manningham, and Nix is healthy and Cruz, the Giants become really deadly again, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, no, that was a great game. That was a great game for the Giants.
Yeah.
That was getting them back on track. That was a little slap in the face. And look, the Giants and Tom Coughlin have the kryptonite for the Green Bay Packers and for the New England Patriots. Those two would love to throw them off the island, get rid of the Giants, because the Giants get up for those two teams.
Yeah. So then we had the battle down in the Bayou. 8-2-1, and Niners get the W. And the Saints, man, 5-6, they're going to struggle. 31-21. Colin Kaepernick, he's legit, huh?
Legitimate.
You got, you see his cannon. I mean, that's the one thing. And so I can understand getting rid of Alex Smith, but I'm not getting, you know, but benching him for a little bit. But, you know, 16 for 25, 231 yards, ran for a touchdown, threw one. He's not bad, man. He's not bad.
I'll tell you what. Jim Harbaugh has a decision to make every game from now on, because I would argue that the one item that's missing from the San Francisco 49ers team is this notion of offensive explosiveness. And when you're locked in a tight battle in the NFC against the Giants or the Packers, or the Bears,
you
or
need
the
some
Falcons,
easy scores.
You're going to need to make a play or two or three. And as great as Frank Gore is, he's kind of a between-the-tackles kind of guy. He moves the ball up the field, matriculates the ball up the field.
He's banged up, too.
And he's
we'll
banged up.
He is.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be back with that knee. But you got to get those weapons. Where has Vernon Davis, who likes Alex Smith, where's Vernon Davis been? Got to give Vernon Davis the ball. He's the most athletic guy on the field most weeks. Vernon Davis, Mario Manningham, Michael Crabtree, and your boy Randy Moss. You've got talent. You just need to open it up and make plays. And Colin Kaepernick makes plays. And Alex Smith did bring them to the NFC Championship. And they were two special teams muffs away from going to the Super Bowl. So I can't say that he doesn't do anything. He's a solid NFL quarterback, probably could lead this team pretty far. But I still think if your goal is a Super Bowl, you have to make more plays. So either you got to take the reins off of Alex Smith and live with a turnover or two potentially, because you got to make plays. You got to make plays. You can't win by default. You got to make plays. This is an offensive league. Look, I still think defense wins, but ultimately you're not going to be winning 10-9. You're not going to be winning 10-9. I like Kaepernick. I'm going with Kaepernick.
I totally agree with you. And to big up your point, he does get it to the receivers outside more. Manningham, had 5 receptions. When was the last time he did that for 69? And then last week he had the big game with Crabtree. So, they even got Delanie Walker involved. I think what's interesting, though, is that he, like some of these new quarterbacks, especially like RG3, and we saw the Cowboys on Sunday, and all year with RG3, Kaepernick has that type of thing where, this is not no Tebow. He is a legitimate passer. But if he's got to run or just extend the play, he can do it, and he'll run and get your first down, or he'll extend the play and throw it to the receiver cutting back, and he does it well. And obviously, hey, look, Alex Smith is no slouch. He can scramble a little bit himself. But Kaepernick, I mean, he's dynamic, right? And we'll see what happens. Now, on the Saints, they've got to win Thursday. They got to go to Atlanta and win and save their season if they still want to have playoff push. I mean, really, they're only a game out of that last spot against Seattle, right? But the Saints have got to. And, their running game, they get Sproles back. But in terms of just rushing, Ingram and your boy Ivory, 34 yards and 27 for Ingram, it's not that much. But nobody really runs on the Niners, so I guess we give them a break.
Well,
you've
had two defensive scores by the Niners. So if you take 14 off, that's a closer game. That's a 21-17 game. But
I'm just talking about the actual stats, though. They couldn't, you can't – it's hard to run. No one has really run on the Niners this year. And so the Saints didn't do it. I mean, your boy D. Sproles, he had 7 receptions for 65 yards.
Yeah,
but that's what he does.
Yeah, that's what he does on the screen game, you know. I'm concerned, though, you know, Marcus Colston got banged up, so we'll see with his concussion if, you know, he'll be okay and stuff. I mean, these guys. But Jimmy Graham didn't have a big game. You know, they really – that Niners defense is so ridiculous, you know. So they definitely did their thing, man. But let's go out to San Diego where things are a little bit more drastic.
San Diego Superchargers.
And 29, Ray Rice. I mean, this
oh
no one's
God.
Completed a 4th-and-29 in the NFL since, like, 2003. It's ridiculous that it even happened. The Chargers freaking – they're just a mess. But Baltimore Ravens, they do what they got to do. They're 9-2. The Chargers might be done for at 4-7, and it might be the end of A.J. Smith and North Turner. But 16-13, OT, the Ravens get it done, man. Justin Tucker, kick good, and that's it. I mean – do you think the Ravens are sort of, you know, obviously we got to mention, you know, Ray Lewis might come back week 17, if not probably the playoffs. So he's looking like he'll play again this season, which is what they thought. Do you think the Ravens could sort of get back to exactly where they were last year, but then go over the hump? Is this team dynamic enough?
That's the problem. I mean, we thought, or I did, in the first few weeks of the season that we were seeing this trajectory from Joe Flacco where he was taking over the team. And if that were to have continued, then I'd be a lot more excited as a Ravens fan, even despite the injuries with Webb and
they should have lost the last 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and so the game against the Cowboys and the game against the Browns and the game against the Eagles and the game last night, and, you know, this
team. And the Steelers game.
Yeah, the Steelers. This team, you know, 6-5, 7. And I mean, the games they really legitimately were better than the other team across, you know, across the other side of the field. So I have questions about their dynamic play. I have questions about them in the playoffs. They are you are what your record is, right? But
yeah.
They're kind of a soft 9-2. I mean, these guys, I'm not sure that
although
I'm
Although Torrey Smith
scared.
Has been big. He's played much. I didn't think he'd be as good as he is. He's had a great season. Shout out to Torrey Smith. He's a beast.
But Ray Rice, to me, you know, he needs to take back that team and be like, look, Joe, you had your chance a couple of times. Maybe you'll make some plays in the playoffs, but really this is my team again. So, look, the Ravens are – they'll always be in games. Like you said, I don't think they're dynamic enough to really – think that they're going to run the table in the AFC. I mean, you look at the teams, I don't like them against the Patriots. I don't like them against the Texans. Maybe they don't even like them against the Broncos. You know, let alone the Steelers where you guys just punch it out every, you know, every game you play is basically a close game. So that's three or four teams where I don't like the Ravens in that matchup.
Yeah.
Potentially against
well, you know,
the
people, look, the other side is, right, people could argue, like, look, we got Ray Rice had 8 passes, 22 rushes, so he touched it 30 times for, look, 97 rushing yards and 67 receiving. Flacco, in 30 for 51, throws for 355. I mean, so even though they only scored 16, on the road, you could say he sort of broke that curse of people saying that he's not a big-time quarterback on the road. I mean, that those are impressive stats, and your boy Torrey Smith is just, I mean, you know, 144 yards. He, you know, 7 receptions.
Maybe
he had a big game.
T-Sizzle. Maybe that's the T-Sizzle.
That's my man. Yo, Terps, you know. I mean, he's a Terp. So I just – there's not much to say about the Chargers. I think, you know, look, it's a mess. They didn't even seem to, you know, throw the ball to Gates at all. You know, Floyd had 4 receptions and there Alexander 5. It's just depressing. And I think it's time for Norv and AJ to go.
They'll be done.
I don't
They'll
know.
Be done.
Yeah.
For sure, Norv. I don't know what kind of deal AJ Smith has with the owner Spanos, but I think that Norv is gone. That's for sure. Norv is gone at the end of the year. I mean, we're gonna have a lot of turnover in head coaches, 4-6 maybe. Norv is one of them. Norv's not back next year. And
yeah,
I hate, you know, I hate to be so callous, but he'll find himself as an offensive coordinator maybe somewhere. where he should
and
be.
And I think that's what he is. He's an OC. He's definitely an OC. So let's bounce over to this this Tampa Atlanta game. Wow.
Woo!
24-23, the Falcons. We both picked the Bucks, and we were almost right. What a game. I mean, the Falcons, just like the Texans, 10-1 with that victory. Tampa Bay, that's a tough one to lose at home in the division. They're 6-5. But to me, they're an encouraging 6-5, right, compared to Seattle and some of these other teams battling for the sixth seed in the NFC playoffs. Losing 24-23 to teams 10-1 and a team that's so talented, you can't be upset. I mean, there's no moral victories in football, right? But to me, Tampa is definitely on the upswing, and they are a team, I think, to be reckoned with. And I wouldn't want to play Tampa in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. They might lose a cornerback, but for 4 weeks. Like
yeah, Eric
Wright,
yeah.
Segment, but, yeah, they are a solid, balanced team, and when they are on, they're a tough offensive nut to crack. I mean, between and they're all young. So if you're a fan of Tampa Bay, I mean, wow, you've got Martin, who's a young guy, and you've got obviously Josh Freeman is young, and Vincent Jackson's still pretty young. Dallas Clark,
my man Underwood, Tyquan Underwood, who's
five for 77. That team is pretty nice, and Mike Williams. You know,
yeah.
I like Tampa. I mean, these guys are another tough out. If you're,
it's just their defense.
But if
you know,
catch
I think
them
it's
at
just
the
their defense.
Seed, yeah.
But the veteran, and they got the veteran Dallas Clark. I mean, you know, who had a decent day. I mean, to me, they're a legit team that, you know, in the NFC, they're gonna battle for that sixth spot. I mean, of course, look, Atlanta, what can you say? And this is what I said to you. This is what impresses me about them. They continue to do it on the road. I mean, obviously, you know, Julio Jones has a big game, and we'll talk about that later. Tony Gonzalez, 5 for 62, has a big game. The combination of Turner, you know, only 13 carries for 17 yards, but he gets in the end zone. And then Jacquez, we talked about Jacquez, and now he's starting to get more carries.
Well,
10 for 49.
That's going to be one of the questions that the Atlanta Falcons are going to ask themselves. They've got great wide receivers, maybe the best wide receiver in football, wide receiver tandem in football, maybe the best, you know, in a while. These two are legit.
Yeah, Roddy White's a beast.
Yeah, and then you throw Tony Gonzalez, the veteran, in there. And I'll be surprised if he doesn't decide, if they don't win a Super Bowl, if he doesn't get convinced to come back for another year. But those guys are legit. The question is have we seen the end of Michael Turner as a starting running back with 25 to 30 carries? I mean, is it
time
to scale back?
Oh, I think that's already been answered. That's already been answered. With only 13 rushes and 10 for Jacquez, I think week by week you've seen Jacquez get more and more carries. So to me, he's more the bruiser between the tackles and the goal line, and Jacquez will get, you know, screen passes and some other carries for change of direction. This is my big question. Matt Ryan, 353, right? You know, and
yeah.
He was 26 for 32, right? But it seems like every week, you know, our boy Rondé Barber gets the interception. Matt Ryan only threw one touchdown but gets the pickoff. I just feel like he's gotten away, right, you know, with some games where he's thrown some bad interceptions and they've won because I think their defense has been doing really well. But I just don't know. Is Matt Ryan ready to turn the corner to be a playoff quarterback?
Here's the problem.
That's the question. I don't care about the 10-1. I really don't.
No, you're absolutely right. And for better or for worse, the standard for him is even Joe Flacco, right, who has had sort of much more mediocre regular seasons, but at least has been winning some playoff games. So can Matt,
and they're the same draft, same year.
And the problem is we won't know it until the playoffs, right? There's nothing really he could do in the regular season that can answer these questions. He's just got to go out and answer the question. So we'll see. I mean, stay tuned. First week in January.
Yeah, man. So, you know, listen, it was definitely some big stuff on Sunday. We got a preview this Monday night game. Some people, Panthers at Eagles. It's kind of depressing. I'm kind of glad it's not that big of a game, right? It
2-8 and a
3-7.
Who
thought a matchup of Michael Vick and Cam Newton would be boring and nobody would be interested?
Right. And who thought, you know, we all thought this would be like both teams of the you know, head, you know, up in their divisions and the great quarterback matchup. Obviously, Mike Vick and McCoy are out. But I want to say, before we talk about this game, listen, the Bears, they did their thing, they, you know, beat the Vikings, and Jay Cutler's a warrior. But AP gets over 100 yards again to continue to lead the league. And, you know, shout out to the number 5th seed in the AFC, the 7-4 Colts, who win 20-13. Man, they are the surprise of the season, without a doubt. And the Bills, again,
are you giving my man Andrew Luck his Rookie of the Year already?
I don't know, right? Because every week, RG3 is just as impressive, and so is Doug Martin. To me, this might be one of those years where you split it.
True,
you know,
but
you might have
to
split
7-4. A team that didn't win anything yesterday or last year got the number one pick. You know, Andrew Luck's team is 7-4.
Yo, I'm scared. You know who's hot? The Bengals. 34-10, smack up the Raiders. But Andy Dalton and now Mohamed Sanu from Rutgers is stepped up to be the number two receiver.
Touchdown, Mohamed Sanu!
Don't get me upset. I had him on my fantasy bench, man. I'm depressed. And so we just go around a little bit. The Dolphins, you know, their season's pretty much over. I guess they're still alive for a wild card spot the way the Steelers are playing, but at 5-6. But, you know, that's a big win, 24-21 at home, beating the Seahawks. So shout out to Tannehill, who, you know, played good in the Dolphins. So who do you like tonight in this yucky game at Philly? Can Nick Foles, can he do enough to, like, you know, I guess help out that offensive line, get rid of it quickly and go down the field, and will they use Bryce Brown? Will they rush the ball enough with Andy Reid? I mean, he doesn't give McCoy the ball, so you don't know if he's going to give Bryce Brown the ball. I think the Panthers might take this one, huh?
Can you see the talented Eagles losing again? Going to 3-8?
I mean, why? I don't see what, except for they're at home, I don't know what the, you know, it doesn't seem like they're playing for Andy, so I don't see what they have to play for, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even think that they feel like, yo, we got this young quarterback, Nick Foles, let's go out there and try to do it for the youngster and support him. I don't think they care. The effort last week and the last 2 weeks was just, it was horrible. I'm going Panthers, man, and a close one, but it's going to be ugly. 23-20, I got the Panthers. I don't even like talking about this game.
Yeah, I'll flip that score and say that's the Eagles. I can't see the Eagles losing again to the Panthers, 3-8. You know, but then again, I
see
the Panthers go 2-9.
You can see ESPN tonight.
Oh Lord, we should let the listeners know. Ray and Tay were talking a little bit before the show today. We said, well, thank goodness Monday Night Football's not that good, so we can watch Knicks and Nets or have the split screen and have at least most of the focus
Skippy
on basketball.
I'm on TNT. No, listen, we love the NFL, right? You know, as being part of the sports media now, Ray and Tay, we cover it, you know, tremendously. We love the NFL, but tonight I am sorry. It is TNT to NBA, baby. So let's move on, man, to our last segment, our Monday segment, which is just always so much fun. You know, champs and chumps of the sports weekend. Ray and Tay, we like to give you our champs and our chumps. And, you know, we look around, and sometimes it's football heavy. It could be college, NFL, basketball, any sport, you know, we talk about. But I'm going to let you go first, man. Where you want to go with your champ or your chump, man? You going positive or negative?
So I'm going to go negative because I want to end on a positive note, and I want you people, the positive story is a family story, so I like that one. So let me start with the negative, and I know this is going to hurt you, but I know you have nothing to say to negate this. You can only say, look, it's a bad week. So my negative for the week, my chump for the week is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I know Roethlisberger.
Wait, I thought your chump was the Chargers.
Well, you're right. I had two chumps out there. Sorry, I had two chumps out there. So one of them was the Steelers. One of them was the Chargers. So
yeah, go with, stick with your own teams.
My fault. You know, here's the thing. In a weekend, you can have multiple champs and chumps. But the one that hit me the most, especially because I was a fan of Air Coryell and that whole squad over there, in the 70s, late 70s and early to mid 80s, the San Diego Chargers. They just fell apart. San Diego Superchargers. They have the best uniforms, those little the home.
Oh, and they wore them yesterday. I was thinking about you. Them powder blues are no joke. Yeah.
Powder blues. I love it. Love it.
The lose wearing those is even worse.
They're 4-7, 2-3 at home. They scored 13 points, which was almost good enough to win. That's the thing. So they scored 13 points. What happened to you? First of all, that 4th-29 was embarrassing. I mean, that's high school-ish. It's not
they
like,
couldn't even tackle him.
It's not like it was a Hail Mary where maybe one guy out-jumped another guy or there was a tip ball and he came around and caught it. He caught, and it wasn't like he caught a Freddie. Remember Freddie Mitchell over the middle?
Yeah.
You know, he caught a 25-yard bullet that it was just so strong. Flacco, who's got, Flacco's got a big arm, just like threaded the needle. No, it was a 5-yard screen pass. And then he ran for 24 yards where you don't have to protect against anything but the first down marker. And
it was a mess.
This was unbelievable. So, yeah, so to me, look, again, you could have won a game 13-10 if you stop him. So that would have been one of those where, wow, we've got a more potent offense than that. But you know what? You get in a boxing match with the Baltimore Ravens, you score 13, good enough to win. But to lose like that on a 4th-29. And, yeah, maybe there was a clip in that, you know, in that sequence. Anquan Boldin got him a little block there towards
the
end.
No, that was no clip. That was a great block, man. He knocked the snot out of old boy.
You got to be embarrassed with that. So my chump of the weekend, the San Diego Chargers falling to 2-3 at home, giving up a 4th-29 5-yard screen pass and 24 yards of rack after Ray Rice catches the ball. So, yeah, that's embarrassing. So to me, it's the Chargers. And you know what? Blow it up. The Jets need to get blown up. The Chargers need to get blown up. Potentially the Cowboys need to get blown up. All my teams need to get blown up. I'm mad. I'm bitter.
All right, well, listen. Do you want to talk about angry? Do you want to talk about hot? Do you want to talk about pissed off? I don't even know what to freaking say about my freaking Steelers.
The family
We're
show.
We're still in
clean.
The sixth seed. We lose to the Cleveland Browns 20-14. Yes, we don't have Big Ben. Yes, we don't have Troy. Yes, we don't have Antonio Brown. We had four running backs, all of them fumble. 8 turnovers, 3 by Batch, 4 by the running backs, and 1 on the freaking last play of the game where we were just trying to throw it around and we couldn't even do that properly. Dwyer fumbles. He gets 9 for 19 yards. It's disgusting. Rainey, Jigmoos from Florida, at least he gets a touchdown, but 5 rushes for 17 yards. Nobody even averaged over 3 yards a carry, barely Rainey, 3.4. Batch was disgusting. 3 interceptions, 20 for 34, 199 yards. No TDs. I mean, this is the Cleveland Browns. This is not the freaking Texans.
Although
Sanders.
The Browns have played very well.
No, no,
very
no. I'm not trying to knock the Browns here, right? It's in the division. They play us good every year. I mean, I still have nightmares about Eric Metcalf, so don't even get me started. But, you know, Emmanuel Sanders showed up, 75 yards receiving.
That fumble.
My man Heath Miller, 6 for 63. But you know what it was to me? Nobody cared. Batch was just giving away. I mean, some of his interceptions, it was just like he just threw it. Like he didn't even try to get it to Wallace or get it to people. It was like he was just throwing it to Cleveland Browns. It was disgusting.
He's too old.
To me, I'm pissed. I'm pissed from even last week. So for me to call my team chumps is some soul searching because I'm the biggest Steeler fan out there. And we should have beat the freaking Tomlin, my coach, is a chump for letting Leftwich stay in from last week. I'm not saying you bench Batch and put in Hoyer because we just signed a guy off the street. Couldn't get plaques going. We couldn't do nothing. Nobody cared, man. I mean, look, Trent Richardson, at least we held him under to, 100 yards because nobody really gets 100 yards on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we will say that. But he got a touchdown and 85 yards rushing.
Man, I'm done. The Steelers are the chumps of the week, and we better freaking turn it around and make the playoffs. That's all I got to say. We'll smack up the Bengals, and we're beating the Ravens this week in Baltimore.
Welcome.
Charm City, get ready. What?
Welcome to my world of teams disappointing me in the NFL. So anyway, let's move to a
positive note.
And this is a family show. So we like to be family friendly, and we like to acknowledge family and how fun it is to incorporate family in sports. So Sunday was a very important day for the Manning family. Eli Manning passes Phil Sims, throws his 200th touchdown, and becomes the Giants' most prolific touchdown thrower and probably the Giants' best passer. And his brother, big brother Peyton, goes out there and crosses the 3,000-yard mark, and he throws his wins his 149th game, which puts him in second place in both of those categories behind Brett Favre. So in a family-friendly
with 186.
He's got 37 more wins to catch Brett Favre. That's tough. But on the other stats, he might catch him, actually, in yards and touchdowns, you know, if he stays healthy for 3 years. But my champ of the week are Archie and Olivia Williams Manning, the Manning parents who conceived and gave birth and delivered to us.
To the best quarterback ever.
Right. Eli Manning and Peyton Manning. Oh, and by the way, you have a brother who was pretty good, too. But he's not a professional. I think he played in high school, played a little bit in college. But, yeah, the parents.
Wasn't he a wide receiver? Cooper Manning?
Yeah, I think he was a quarterback, and they converted to wide receiver, yeah.
Yeah.
But Archie and Olivia Manning are my champs of the week. Thank you for meeting each other at Ole Miss. Thank you for getting married. Thank you for having two children that we watch and admire in the NFL.
Thank you for your babies.
Thank you for your babies. Exactly.
Yeah, now that's funny. I got to say, that is funny. And look, it's good we're ending it on a positive, right? Mine is real simple, real quick. I don't have much to say except for there was a gentleman who was injured, and people said he might not play. People said, you know, he might not do too well. Last week he sort of played and didn't have a big game and had to lead the game. His ankle was jacked up. He, you know, he's strong, and he went to this school in Tuscaloosa called Alabama, the defending champs. And I know people in fantasy football, like in our league, G Money, didn't start him, and it hurts. But this man, his name is Julio. Julio Jones is my champ of the week. 6 receptions. Yeah, people could say, you know, Calvin and other cats had more. But it was for 147 yards, an 80-yard touchdown run, 24.5 per reception, and Julio Jones was the difference in this game to let the Falcons do what they had to do on the road. When you step up this big, your second year, right, he's the truth. You know, I think he is the difference that could take this team in the playoffs and Matty Ice. Because of how he can receive anywhere on the outside, the inside, work the middle, Julio Jones is
and
my
when
champion.
They traded for him, people said, "Wow, that's a heavy price to pay for a number 6 pick wide receiver." They paid a lot. The Falcons traded a lot.
And I think it's starting to pay off for them, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, Matt Ryan has every weapon at his disposal on offense, and if they don't make a serious run at the Super Bowl. You know, it's not because the GM didn't give him the toys. I mean, this guy is the real deal. Julio Jones is really awesome. And that tandem is great, too.
So,
Another good show tonight.
We'll tell everybody, listen, Wednesday we'll be back with our segment, Where You At? And we will probably give you a little Where You At NBA. We might have to, you know, check it out.
If you got any suggestions for later in the year, shoot us an email, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you need. Where You At
Wednesday.
Yeah, we've
gotten some good ones, yeah. And listen, hey, watch the game. You know, let's go Knicks up against the Brooklyn Nets out there in BK. Let's hold it down. Let them know who runs New York. And,
let's see what happens tonight. I got the Panthers and Ray's got the Eagles, you know. So, Ray and Tay, thanks for checking us out, man. We'll see you on Wednesday.
See you next time.
Talking sports with friends.
The military-industrial complex has taken over the country along with the Wall Street gang.
If you look also at the people that Obama has put on his appointment list, it's all Wall Street, government of Wall Street, by Wall Street, and for Wall Street. There's nobody from heavy industry. There's nobody from the auto sector. Nobody from Silicon Valley. Nobody from big oil. Nobody from defense. No labor. No women. No retirees. No small business. Nothing. It's pure Wall Street. The only people who have a voice in Obama's council are Wall Street finance oligarchs.
T-I-M-E. This is meant to enslave, meant to kill all the brave men.
Woo!
So listen up because you better behave, men. Cause right now we're dealing with killer cavemen. So listen to me cause your freedom is fading. I said your freedom is fading. Fading. Should I impose some control?